I'm just a participant like you guys, so welcome to the Sendero group. I've been in here a few times. They're pretty helpful.
Yeah, this is my first time.
Hello, all.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Why do mine keep saying so many percentages, like 99%, 70%? It keeps saying different percent.
Hold on 1 second. I'll help you with that.
That's a JAWS setting. If you do an insert V and then go down to announce progress bars, you can turn that option off to announce the progress bars. If you want to make it more permanent, you do an insert F2 and go to Configuration Manager, then go to Set User, I think it is. It's the first one. And hit Enter on that. Go to Set and then User Configuration, and it's the first one. Announce Progress Bars. And you'll want to turn that off and then save the setting. And it won't do it in the chat client, but it'll do it anywhere else.
Okay.
And if you're not sure of all that step to do, just do an insert V for Victor and tap the letter P to hit progress bar or setting or whatever, and then you can turn it off from there for now. And then when you go out of the room and come back in, you have to do that step every time. And like Chris did, the other way is a permanent way, but you can always go back and turn it back on too if you want. But I turn it all on my off on all these rooms, and it doesn't. Okay, I gotta step away with it. I got dinner, and then I'll be right back.
Okay, I think I got it. All right, thanks.
And I would like to tell you guys.
Sue Manus has entered the room.
Would like to tell you.
Tom Ling has entered the room.
I would like to tell you, new people, you know, that come in, you know, go into the help and go down to accessibility submenu, and that there you can check each time you enter, it'll check, and then you have to go and repeat that process. But in there you can tell who's come into the room and who leaves the room. You can check those, and you won't be so much in the dark. When you're in the room, you can tell who came in, and when somebody's talking, you see Alt E to hear who's talking, and so on. But I gotta go on each.
Does anybody have any GPS questions?
Yes. The 4.0 upgrade, is that free?
It depends. If you purchased within or prior to June 15th, if you have one upgrade remaining, it is free. If you don't have any upgrades remaining, then it is a paid-for upgrade.
I think I got mine through the VA, and I think they told me it was May the 13th when it was really purchased, May the 13th.
I would contact the Sendero tomorrow and see if you in fact do have the upgrade coming to you, or what what's involved in the upgrade. I think you may have the upgrade coming to you, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, then I need to contact them tomorrow. I'll do that then.
Sounds great.
Just be aware. Hi, this is Tom. even if you do have the upgrade coming to you, do contact Sendero and ask, you know, if they have sent it out. In my case, I definitely had it coming because I had the SMA, and Sheila had sent it to me, but Pac Bell, which of course now is AT&T, they use Yahoo for their mail servers and all that kind of stuff. And what happened was the Sendero executable attachment got flagged by my internet provider, and so that message with the upgrade instructions and the executable and all that kind of stuff got bounced into my bulk mail folder. So I never saw it until Sheila told me that that was a possibility, and I went and looked for it, and sure enough, it was there. So if you use Verizon or AT&T or any of those providers that use Yahoo for their mail service, you may have had that problem. So you might want to check your bulk mail folder if you have one up there on the web, at, you know, whatever web page they offer for checking your mail on the web. Just, you know, see if it might be up there.
That's a good point. And we've actually started renaming the EXE extension to KSI. I'm not sure how many people are actually aware of this, but in Keysoft 7.2, if you go to the Utilities menu and then go to Install Keysoft Extension, it looks for a .ksi file. So basically what would happen is if you're Keysoft 7 or 7.1, then you would need to rename that file to back to an .exe file. But if you're 7.2, you can just go to Utilities and then hit I for Install Keysoft Extension and then follow the prompts. And it's actually pretty cool because if you have your compact flash card in the drive and you have the extension or the .exe file, executable program file, in the root folder of the compact flash card, it basically selects the compact flash drive for you, and then you just hit enter on the none folder, and then it will select the Keysoft extension. In this case, it would be the GPS, your GPS executable file. So you basically would hit enter a few times and start the installation instead of having to browse to the file.
Let's start talking about POIs, and I'm specifically interested in the user POIs. I haven't really done anything with them at all, and I really don't know. I downloaded everything in terms of 4.0 POIs, but I don't really know what's in each package. And specifically for the user POIs, do you have to take it all? I've got the whole zip file, but do I have to install it all, or can I become specific in terms of the things that best would work for me, for example, in Southern California?
The user POI files, as far as the collective user POI files, there are several files in that one zip file. One is ATMs, another would be Europe, another would be Canada. So if the Europe and Canadian user POIs don't mean anything to you, you don't have to install them. The user POI, the 40 US user.bpi file, encompasses the whole country.
I would just install the entire thing, or can I become specific from within that US file?
It becomes specific to where you are, meaning that if you're in Southern California, you're going to see the Southern California user points. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you're going to see the Atlanta, Georgia points. So they will all be there.
Yeah. What I did was when I downloaded the that file, what I did was, you know, I'm using XP, and when I click on the zip file, it shows the contents, and I was able to go through and just select the transits, the ATMs, or whatever was in there. I forget exactly what was in there. And just disregard the Europe and the Canadian files, and just, you know, select those. Just do a multi-select like you would in any list box. Just do the multi-select and then copy them to the clipboard. And then I had my maps folder open, with my CF card and a card reader, and just had the maps folder open, and then just, you know, pasted those things right in. And it worked like a champ. Didn't have any trouble at all.
And the points of interest all begin with the version number 40. Even the commercial POIs. The commercial POIs, you will see two for each map segment. So if you have California, for example, which has four maps, you're going to see California 1 bonus and California 1 core. And then you'll see California 2 bonus, California 2 core. So the commercial points of interest are the bonus and core files.
What happens when September rolls around and they issue additional files again? Do you just go over the top of what you have, or do you delete August next month, or how does that work?
Basically, you just go atop of what you have. They are cumulative, meaning that when you download September's, you're going to have Augusts, Julys, Junes, anything, you know, from since the beginning of this whole collective user POI venture, I guess, if you will.
Hey, I saw that one message from Charles Lapierre, and he mentioned some that were provided by the U.S. Geological Survey or something like that. I think that's what he said. And I was just curious what kind of stuff you get with that file.
You get parks, you'll get shopping centers, you know, where the data is. You'll get cities. Some of those files are going to be some of those POIs are going to be duplicates. So you might see, for the city POI, when you go to it, you might see two of the same point of interest because of the nature of those files. Those geological files were submitted by one of our beta testers, and there's quite a bit of information in there. Another one is the RMF. Those were extracted from the maps themselves. So.
And how current are those map files? I had occasion to be down in Long Beach this weekend, and I was looking around doing some POI searches, and I found some things that were showing that are no longer there. So I'm wondering if the map data was current as of the beginning of the year or sometime later. I just was curious about that.
The map data is April of 07. So the RMF files, those are the ones that are extracted directly from the map. Those would be obviously April of 07. I'm not sure how current the geological ones are.
Yeah, I was just particularly curious about the POIs. Are you saying the RMF contains POIs?
Yes, the RMF will those are points of interest that are embedded in the map data that Charles extracted from the map data.
And those maps, I would assume, will be refreshed, what, annually or, you know, every 6 months? Or how often do you anticipate that happening?
We anticipate it once a year.
I'm sorry, I'm so confused, but are these the RMF data and the geological data, are they in addition to what we put in with our 4.0 upgrade and the patch?
If you want them, you can put them in. If you don't want them, you don't have to put them in. They're not required. They're there. If you want more points of interest, then check them out. If you find you don't like them, or if it's way too overwhelming, then you can get rid of them. They're not required.
Yeah, this is totally different, but when you be using a GPS system and you want to use the adapter that goes to your cigarette lighter, how do you know it's working?
Pull out the battery. That's the way I would do it, is to pull out the battery, and if the receiver comes off or stops working, then you know your cigarette lighter adapter is not working.
You know, when I have the charger on, it'll let me know. When I check the battery level, it'll let me know. But when I check the battery level with the cigarette, it doesn't tell me the adapter is on. But when I do it with the AC, it'll let me know that the adapter is on, but not with the cigarette lighter.
The cigarette lighter is for the GPS receiver.
Right, but I thought maybe they'll say your adapter is on, like it does when you be charging up your GPS system. When doing with the AC, it says your adapter is on. So I thought when I be traveling and I plug the cigarette lighter in, I thought maybe it'll say your adapter is on again.
Yeah, there's currently no way to tell. You know, it doesn't say the adapter's on or off, or you really can't even get the battery level of the receiver.
I take it that you have the Holix 236?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, the only way you're going to absolutely tell if it go dead or, turn it off, turn the switch down toward the bottom. And the switch is down toward the left of the bottom anyway, so you up it would be on. If you can't see the light at all, you can estimate there's a light there. That's all you can really do.
Yeah, and again, I've pulled the battery out to make sure that power's working as well.
Hey, suppose you pulled that battery out for whatever reason and forgot to put it back in, and you know we're traveling around and you happen to have your USB cable, could you would the USB or would the receiver draw power through the USB cable, or does that have to battery have to be plugged in there as well?
It will draw power from the USB cable, but keep in mind your Braille note is going to die a little faster.
Quick question back to the POIs for a second. Are these user POIs, can you share those with people who have other types of GPS systems? My twin brother, for example, has a PacMate, and I just wondered if you could, I know you probably have to change the extension, the file extension, but are they shareable amongst other GPS users, whether they're using Sendero?
Unfortunately, no.
So is that to say you couldn't go up to a place like, say, Poi Factory or one of those and download those and plug them in?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure how they got the geological survey. They got them off the internet, but I honestly don't know how they did it. Let's talk a little bit about the categories and the subcategories of version 4.0. When you do a search on a category such as Subway, you will pull up the Subway restaurants, but the Olive Garden, for example, you won't pull up Olive Garden because Olive Garden is in the Italian subcategory under restaurants. There is a subcategory there called Olive Garden, and the way I understand it is when TelAtlas gives us the subcategories, on some map, there is an Olive Garden in that subcategory, but unfortunately it's not in the United States, as we found out. So when you find a category or a POI such as Olive Garden, if you're looking to search via subcategories, when you find the POI name, if you do a detailed description of it, a space with P or a read with P, it tells you the name of the POI, then it tells you the category, which would be restaurants in Olive Garden, and then the subcategory would be Italian. So if you searched under restaurants and then Italian for subcategory, you would pull up the Olive Garden restaurant.
Hi, Chris. I'm really glad that you're talking about this today. I have found that pretty much it's best if you're looking for the subcategories and stuff to do, if you're looking at restaurants, just to do an all, because it really is intermittent.
You're absolutely right, it is. What I mostly do is search under restaurants and then search under all and then type in a few category or a few characters of what I'm looking for, and that seems to pull it up. But
are there other categories where the same situation occurs besides restaurants, where you have to go into subcategories in order to find it? Or do you just have to, I guess all would be the quickest and easiest way to do it to avoid this situation, right?
Yes, that's correct. And then, you know, if you want to know the subcategory that it's assigned to, you do the detailed POI command and that will tell you. Any other comments on the categories, subcategories?
Well, I'm going to have to play with it a little bit because I haven't really looked at the subcategories too much yet.
Speaking of categories and subcategories, does everybody have the July 31st patch installed, or the latest patch installed?
I do.
Yeah, I've got it.
I got the 4.0 email, I think, August 2nd, so I'm all set to go. But I assume that if there are other patches, we'll be notified about them on the email list or on the website?
Yes, that's correct. We'll put it on the email list, and what we've been doing is henceforward, you know, the patch, since if you received your GPS after the date of the patch was issued, then you would have the latest and greatest software, so you wouldn't have to install the patch. Although, if you're unsure, it doesn't hurt.
But again, did the patch do in terms of upgrade?
It fixed this subcategory issue that some of the subcategories just plain didn't work, and they were supposed to work like Subway sandwiches and salads. You were supposed to hit enter on that one and pull up your Subways, but it just didn't work, and we fixed that issue. And there were a couple other issues, being able to set yourself virtually on a freeway. That issue is now fixed. there was a couple of possible crashes that we fixed so that they won't occur. We hadn't seen anybody, you know, have the and I'm not talking about not able to start the system, but just maybe an exception here and there, and we fixed those before it became too serious.
Just for the benefit of those who are listening, is there a specific place that you go on the Sendero group page to download these and the other POI files? I've noticed several posts to the lists, and there was one today where there were four links given to those POI files, and I got a 404 when I tried to access them.
What I would do is I would go to www.senderogroup.com/download.htm, and that should take you right to the main free downloads page. Now, if you want to add a number sign and the word patch, so it would be number, which is shift 3 on the US keyboard, and the word patch, so it would be www.senderogroup.com/download.htm number sign patch. That will take you directly to the patch where you can download and install the patch.
One thing I've noticed in 4.0, I created a route and wanted to follow it. It was much easier to get the Braille note to follow the route along because I was looking for, you know, where I wanted to turn in the different waypoints. But one question I have is, how do you get back to the beginning of your route after you've gotten to the end? I couldn't get it to back up except going one by one by one.
One thing that you can do, it's a kind of a workaround, is do an E and an R for edit route, and then just hit enter. Or no, actually, yeah, just hit escape, and you will actually be at the beginning of your route. Because I would say reverse it, but if it's a vehicular route, you cannot reverse it. But if it's a pedestrian or a manual route, you can reverse it, which would do exactly what you want it to do.
What's escape on the Braille note?
Space with E.
Okay.
Hey, you noticed I noticed something peculiar yesterday as I was traveling around, and that was I had was on a route, and I was reading a book at the same time, and I went into the book reader and was doing, you know, reading along. And then I bounced back into GPS. GPS was running in the background. And then when I did the Xcode to see where I was at, it said, you know, 212 feet to, you know, some intersection, but it didn't tell me what street I was on. Is that the way it's supposed to work?
You mean the plain X, correct?
Right.
Yes, that's how it currently works. It gives you... The X command was modified in 4.0. It tells you the upcoming street or your cross street. It doesn't tell you the street that you're on anymore. You can get that by hitting A for nearest address and or the space X read X command, which is detailed intersection, will also give you that information.
That's what I thought. And I had been doing the A command just to get the nearest address. But I'll make a note of that space X. I think that'll do the trick for me.
You can also multiple repeat your detailed intersection. If multiple repeat of an intersection is something that you do all the time and you want the current street that you're on, you could also either multiple repeat the intersection and address or the detailed intersection. Probably intersection and address would be less info. Also, if we're on the subject to going back to the POIs and user POIs, when you record a user point of interest, you do a control or a read with R on the QT or a space with dot 3 on the BT or PK. You are now offered a details where you can type in more information about the user POI that you're recording, and you're also prompted with the category that you want to put the user POI in. So, say for example, it's a private point of interest, like your house or your grandma's house or your friend's house. You'd put that in the user private subcategory or category. And if it's a restaurant, you'd scroll down to the restaurant. Or if it's a category or a POI that you want public, you would put it in the bonus if it didn't seem to fit anywhere else. And what that means is that when and if, which it's, you know, you can if you want to, send your user POI to Sendero to be included in the monthly compilation, any user private POIs are stripped out, so they're not put into the public files.
How often do these upgrades come out?
The user POI files, at least once a month.
Then do you put those user POI file into your user POI file?
No. You just download the zip file of the collective user POIs, and then unzip them into your maps folder, and it will overwrite the public user points, not your private ones. Your private ones are your private ones, and those aren't tampered with.
Okay, but what if you have your points of interest that go back to like 2.0 or 1.0, whatever it was that you had? Should you just strip those out and start over?
You can if you want to, or you can just change the category.
Because I don't think they have a category at the moment.
So we're right. So what you would do is you would go to Edit, User Points, find one of your points from version 1 or version 2, and then you would, I think it's C for change category. So you'd arrow to the user POI in question and hit C, and then you're prompted for the category that you want to put it in. You find the category and press enter, and it's changed.
Okay. And also, this is kind of crazy, but I was cleaning off a shelf and I found a whole pile of disks for the maps for, I don't know if it was 2.5 or 3.0. Any good use for old CDs?
Use them as frisbees.
Just thought I'd ask in case anybody had an idea. They went in the garbage, but because I figured that you couldn't use them for anything.
No, you can't. They're outdated anyway, so it's good that they're where they are.
I'm not sure in your area, but in my area today, I went to Radio Shack and purchased a 2 gig CF card for $30. They had them on sale for $30 and a stand disk, and they have a lot of other stuff on a card too. So, if you guys are looking to put more map on your CF card, you might want to look at Radio Shack. I think that's a good buy, $30.
Yeah, memory storage, CF and SD and all these memory storages, it's becoming cheaper. I paid $150 or $175 for my 2 gig card about a year and a half ago, so prices definitely have dropped.
Well, yeah, because I bought two U3 thumb drives, and they were $15 each by SanDisk.
Those things ever wear out? I mean, I'm just thinking about that myself. I spent the same amount of money about a year ago. I'm amazed they've come down, but maybe I shouldn't be. But are they supposed to last for quite a while, or is there any life expectancy to them?
I think that would depend on the manufacturer's, what the manufacturer says about the specific card that you buy. I know that they can die on you, meaning 1 second they're going to work and next second they won't. So it's probably a good idea to have multiple or more than one card so that if that does happen, you can swap your card out and you're up and running. I've had mine running for, I think, about a year and a half, but it's technology, and like the floppy disk would go, you know, your compact flash or your SD cards can go, and you know, it's just a good idea to back things up as well.
And I understood they do lose memory after a while too. You keep using it, and if you check how much memory, it may not be the same as it was when you first got it.
Sometimes what I do is I'll put the compact flash card into the card reader on the computer and go to start and then go to run and type, do a CHK DSK on the compact flash card, and it's Windows has actually fixed errors on the card, which is good.
What the command for that, Chris?
You go to start, you go to run, and I'm sure there's probably an easier way to do it, but I go to start, go to run, type CHK DSK space, and then the drive letter, if it's F, colon or I colon or whatever and hit enter, and it'll scan the surface of the disk to make sure, it'll look for errors, and if it finds them, it'll offer to fix them.
Thank you.
So what do people think of when you're out and about, being able to tell sighted people what's around you or what direction you're going, or even when to turn?
Now, personally, I love it, but my wife don't.
Yeah, just keep reminding her how fast she's going.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
My friends like it. I get us where we're going.
I think you become more involved in the aspect of getting to the destination instead of just being a passenger and kind of just sitting there wondering where you are.
Yeah, I love it because I'm totally blind, and before I was asking, you know, where are we, but now with the surround, you know, I listen and I hear about the bank is on the left or something's on the right, then I know exactly where I am because I'm familiar with the area, because when I had sight, you know, I learned the area. But at the same time, I mean, being totally, I wouldn't know where I was, but now it's great now.
I always had the knack of, we were going down the freeway to wherever we were going, and I'd ask where we are, and it was always when we're in the middle of nowhere between nothing and nothing.
And then it's like, how long is it going to take us to get there? And they're like, I don't know. I know I've said this before, but when my first experience with the GPS, I got version 1 when we didn't have maps and we had very few points of interest. But I was going out with my mother-in-law and my better half, and the two were sitting in the front seat, and they were talking amongst themselves. And, you know, keep in mind, I just unboxed this thing, and I was trying to figure it out. And I had the restaurant that we were going set as our destination, and the destination kept increasing, the distance to the destination. And I said to my mother-in-law, I says, you need to turn around. She says, why? I said, because you're going in the absolute opposite direction of where you want to be.
And she's still your mother-in-law, so I guess everything worked out okay.
Yeah, actually, she really likes it. They really like the fact that I can tell them what things are around them when we go on vacations and stuff. I can tell them where we're going and, you know, look for different places to eat or to buy something, and if we need to call them on the cell phone to make sure that they're open, you know, it just opens up an opportunity for, you know, everybody here knows that.
I agree. I love it. I'm just really learning now because I moved and I just didn't spend the time on it that I should. So now I'm really starting to learn it. And I think one of the nicest strides that was made was when they got rid of all the serial cables and all that stuff. I hated to put that stuff on, just maybe because I'm lazy, but also I just, you know, it wasn't something where I looked forward to going out and walking when I had to load up all the wire and the cable. And now with the Holix, I mean, it's just so quick and easy, not only putting it together, but also putting it away when you have to get out of a vehicle or just when you have to shut it down. It's just so much nicer.
I always keep my receiver on the shoulder strap all the time. I never put it anywhere, but I know exactly what you're saying. And you used to have all the wires, and then you had to put the wire through the cable, and then the wire might break, and it's like, yep, I remember.
And you had that silly little suction cup to try to keep the receiver stuck to the car window or whatever, and then, you know, if the thing popped off, then the thing's, you know, flopping around or down the floor somewhere, you got to hunt for it, and, you know, that got to be kind of a pain, too. Now, it's really great just having the Holix with no wires. The only drag about it is the stability of the Bluetooth arrangement. But that's it seems to be better in 4.0 though.
Okay, any good uses for two old receivers, one with a cord and one with the BlueMate logger?
You might be able to donate them if you want to put it on the list and see if you know of anybody that wants them. That might be a good idea.
Could also keep the CDs company in the trash can, I guess.
True.
Yeah, I've only been using it for about a month now, but I'm getting some a lot of information from this group.
Yeah, it's a user community. We all help each other.
And the price is right.
I knew that was coming.
I like to throw a little thing in there.
Hey, we didn't tell you we're charging you for all this?
No.
You didn't know that, Baba? The meter is running. When this is over with, you automatically get a generated a bill. Wait, it'll be in the mail.
No, it's free for everybody else. It's just Jerry that we're charging.
Okay, I was going to ask you to put it on my card.
I don't read my mail.
Just giving Jerry a hard time.
Yep. I had the privilege to meet Chris 2 times in person, so.
We're both still here to tell about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, next week I'll go hunt, find out what day Mike's going to be there at the BVA convention. Go and say hello to him.
Sounds cool.
Well, I'm at to go, but hope to see you guys next week. Hope to see you next week then.
Come on in anytime.
Thanks for joining us.
Are you going to be at the BVA convention, Jimmy?
Yes.
How long does it take for these chats to become archived?
Usually within 48 hours they'll be up, sometimes the same day, sometimes Monday or Tuesday.
Ooh, that's pretty quick. I know with this particular system you can also, or you're supposed to be able to record your own copies of the presentation, but they changed it recently, so I'm not sure whether the same keystrokes work anymore, so I'll just come down and download the archival version when it gets up there.
I got a TT5 room, I guess a few of them. It's set up like Sendero and their admin, you know, if they want to turn the receiver on or not. The moderator can turn it on, but a lot of other things. But it's
yeah, it'll be up there for the chat or for the archive.
Yeah, I noticed. I was just looking at the menu bar here. Well, actually, I was looking at file and I was checking out all the different menu options here with Talcum, and I don't see a record option. Is that not present in this version?
Actually, it's disabled as far as Sendero. We have it only for moderators. It's like Jerry said, it can be, you know, it would be room specific.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the setting because I don't think they would want to say it, but there are setting in there that was a pretty cool feature. If you need to use it, it's there. And then you can make it very flexible and all the other stuff, too, and a whole bunch. There's a lot they can do. Then they have the admin. Then they have another level than that. That goes from the, the owner of the TC.
Well, if nobody has any other questions, I think I'm going to call it a day.
Thank you for the information, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Chris. See you next week. Bye, folks.
Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, Chris. See you later.